And so, Father, we come now to the preaching of your word. May your word go forth. May it give instruction. May all our traditions be laid aside, and let your truth, your word, give us life and give us hope. We pray and ask this in Yeshua's name. Amen. Today's message is entitled, Celebrating Pesach with Yeshua at His Last Supper. Turn with me now to Matthew chapter 26. We'll begin in verse 1. Matthew 26, verse 1. And there were things leading up to this celebrating of Pesach that we'll be getting into. Because as you know, as we've been going through the book of Matthew, Matthew in the Hebrew, we've been doing it in a chronological order. There are some things that are listed in the good news of Matthew that are listed in the other three gospels too, or good news. And there are some things that are left out. So today we'll be doing some comparative in the good news of Mark and the good news of Yohanan, who is John, as each fits in their chronological order. Because many times, you know, the healing and the touching of certain things, we see it repeated time and time again in Scripture. And sometimes it's done in a chronological order. And sometimes there's multiple healings or there's multiple blessings. Today we will see here where three different women on different occasions blessed Yeshua. All right? So let us begin. When Yeshua had been speaking, had finished speaking, he said to his Talmudim, who are his disciples, as you know, Pesach, Passover, is 2 days away. What day of the year was he speaking? But Nisan 12. And so the Son of Man will be handed over and be nailed to the execution stake. All right? That's kind of like, wait a second, we're about to celebrate Pesach, and now you're telling us that you are about to be crucified on an execution stake? Why do you give us the good news then the bad? Because in their eyes, they were believing that Yeshua was going to set up what? His earthly kingdom upon in Jerusalem. And that he, being a descendant of David, he was going to set up himself on the throne of David. And that he was going to turn Israel back to God. But that was yet to come. So continuing here. Verse 3, then the head Kohanim and the elders of the people gathered in the palace. This is what's going on. Yeshua is not saying this to them, but this is what's going on. And Yeshua knows all things. That's why it says in the scripture here, and this is where the Holy Spirit interjects in the writing of the book of Matthew, as we break everything down in a chronological order. Then the head Kohanim, who is the high priest, and the elders of the people gathered in the palace of Caiaphas, or Kepha, the high priest, the Kohen HaGadol. So this was going on at the exact moment that Yeshua declared that he was about to be handed over and to be nailed upon the execution stake in the near future. Verse 4, they made plans to arrest Yeshua superstitiously. What does that word mean? Secretly, all right? They did not want to set out an alarm. Why? Because they feared the people. And they wanted him to be put to death, these leaders. But they said, not during the festival of Pesach, Passover, or the people will riot. Yeshua was in Beit Anya, which is Bethany. What does Bethany mean? It is called what? But the house of poverty. That's where Yeshua was operating from at that point, the house of poverty. It is a village east of Jerusalem on the Mount of Olives. Yeshua and his Talmudim were at the house of Shimon. Now, there are a lot of Shimons or Simons in the scripture, but we have to find out which one this one is. And what does the name Simon or Shimon mean? It means this in Hebrew, he who hears. So let us continue here. The man who had Zarat, which is leprosy, and Yeshua healed him. Okay, so this isn't Simon the Pharisee that we'll be getting into a little bit later today, because there was a woman there that anointed Yeshua. So let us go quickly back now to verse 7. A woman who had an alabaster jar filled with a very expensive perfume approached Yeshua. So now we've left what? The palace of the high priest. Now we're back presently where Yeshua is, okay? And his Talmudim. And where are we? We are in the house of Shimon Simon, who has been healed of leprosy. And what village are we in? But we're in the village or the house of poverty, which is east of Jerusalem. See, that's a lot of details, is it not? But the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of living God, wanted us to be able to pinpoint these things as the scripture reveals the truth to us. So now in verse 7, a woman had an alabaster jar filled with very expensive perfume. And she approached Yeshua while he was eating. And she began pouring it on his head. Now, I got to be honest with you. If I'm sitting here eating, enjoying a meal with some friends, and then someone comes up and they start pouring something on my head, what would be your reaction? Okay? All right? But Yeshua, knowing all things, he knew what was the intent. This isn't a prank that's going on, all right? Okay? Yeshua had a human nature, okay? All right? He was just like you and I, but without sin, okay? And so this was reality. This woman came up, she broke it, and I believe this, even before she broke it, because since this was such a strong, pure perfume, he could smell what was coming. All right? And so she continues here to pour this very expensive perfume upon his head. But it says this, when the Talmudim saw it, okay, they became very angry. Why this waste, they asked, okay? This could have been sold for a lot of money and given to the poor. Now, where are they? They are in the village of what? The house of poverty, okay? And there's poor people all around them, okay? So now it makes even more sense to us, okay? This could have been sold for a lot of money and given to the poor. Now the Talmudim said this angrily to themselves. And you may be saying, how do you know that? Why? Because now let us look at Mark chapter 4, verse 4. As it records this, okay? But we'll continue in verse 9. But Yeshua, aware of what was going on, said to them, notice he did not hear them speak out these words loudly. Why are you bothering this woman? She has done a beautiful thing for me. Yeshua hears us and he knows our innermost thoughts. All right? Verse 11, the poor you will always have with you, but you will not always have me. Okay? Yeshua in the present tense, okay? How many of us would have loved to have been one of the 12? Amen? Right? But God has selected you for who you are for such a time as this. All right? You have been ordained, you've been chosen, okay? So let us continue here. She has poured out this perfume on me to prepare my body for burial. Okay? How many times does Yeshua have to repeat time and time again to his Talmudim that they're on their way to celebrate Pesach when they're outside in the Galilees and saying, I now must go and die. The Son of Man must come and lay down his life. And they just don't get it. All right? And he has to remind him in the very beginning of this chapter what's going to happen to him. All right? She was not present with them hearing all these things, but she knew because she was moved by the power of the Spirit of the living God. And she may have heard them speak, the Talmudim, to her in passing that Yeshua was about to die. So what did she do? She went and she took her most precious thing that she owned and she broke it and she applied it to Yeshua. Because she recognized that she wanted to prepare him for burial. So let us continue here. Verse 13, yes, I tell you, this is Yeshua speaking, that throughout the whole world, whenever this good news is proclaimed, and what she has done will be told in her memory. Now think about this. Her name is not given. But those within the house knew who she was. Now, what had Yeshua recently taught his Talmudim, his disciples, about those who were sheep and goats in Matthew 25, 31 through 46? And it is this, that the goats choose not to meet his needs by not meeting the needs of his brother's needs. And so what are they doing now but rebuking someone for meeting Yeshua's needs? Are they now not acting like goats? See how quickly here we forget the things that Yeshua has taught us? Have you ever been guilty of that? I have. Here, I would sit and cluck my tongue at these goats. But in reality, aren't there times when I act like a goat? If I'm honest and truthful, I would say yes and amen. So let us continue here. Now let us look at Mark, because Mark, he records this same opportunity that this woman did, but he gives us even more insight. This is Mark chapter 14, beginning at verse 1. And you may be saying, why are we going through all these details? Because this is what was happening prior to Yeshua laying down his life and celebrating Pesach, Passover. So we have to understand everything in its chronological order. So we'll have more truth and more light to walk therein. So Mark 14, 1 through 9. This gives us further insight of what Mark, and that is his Hellenistic name, Greek name. What was Mark's Hebrew name? His Jewish name was Yohanan. Where is that recorded? In Acts 13, 5. After landing in Salamis, which is the island of Cyprus, that Shaul, who is Saul, and Barnabas, who is called the son of the father, Barnabas, began proclaiming the word of God in the synagogues with Yohanan Mark, John Mark, as an assistant. And thus they made their way throughout the whole island of Cyprus. And so Acts 15, 37 through 38. Now, Bar-Abba, son of the father, wanted to take with them Yohanan, John Mark, the one who's called Mark. And Shaul, Saul, Paul, thought it would be unwise to take this man, Yohanan Mark, with them, since he had gone off and left them at Papaya to do the work by themselves. So that gives you a little bit of background here of who this Mark person is. But can you imagine this? Now in your Brit Hadashah, your New Testaments, you have the listing, Matthew, Matiyahu, and then you have Yohanan, and then the Luke, and then you have Yohanan. Wouldn't that be confusing? That's why the name Mark was, they used his Hellenistic Greek name, okay? And for some of you, maybe you've read that in the scripture and it came out to you. But this is just for clarification. So now going on here, in Mark chapter 14, verse 1. Now it was 2 days before Pesach, Nisan 12, that the festival of Matzah, the head Kohanim and the Torah teachers were trying to find some way to arrest Yeshua surreptitiously, secretly, not to bring alarm to the people, and to have him put to death. For they said, not during the festival, or the people will riot. While he, Yeshua, was in Beit An, the home of Shimon, who is Simon, a man who had leprosy, and he, Yeshua, was eating. And a woman came with an alabaster of pure olive nard. See, Mark's given us even more clarification here. This wasn't simply just an expensive bottle perfume. This was perfume in the nard stage. It's like essential oils, 100%. There are no additives here. This would have cost her up to a year's wages to purchase this, okay? And that is what she's pouring upon Yeshua to prepare him for his burial, okay? And so when Yeshua was eating, a woman came with an alabaster of pure oil of nard, pure oil of nard, a very costly. And she broke the jar of perfume and she poured it over Yeshua's head. Okay. Listen now for even a greater understanding of significance of this sacrifice is out of love. The alabaster perfume jar was made of finely grained variety of jimson. And that's a familiar word, is it not, to us? Jimson board, okay? It was often white and it was translucent. It was used for ornamental objects as a lamp bases or perfume containers. Alabaster is white, and because it is translucent, it seems as if the light is coming from within. So when, you know, when she brought that out and people saw that, they were thinking, now what is she going to do with this thing? Okay. So continuing here. The perfume is greater than essential oils that is 100% pure, and it has no fillers whatsoever. So now back to verse 4 of Mark 14. But some of them, the Talmudim, were there angry, and they said to themselves. Remember in Mark? It sounded like they proclaimed it out loud. But here it says they said to themselves. You know something? Mark was not even there. He wasn't one of the 12. So how did Mark know about this? Because it was Peter, Kepha, that related these things to him. And it was affirmed into his heart and soul by whom? But the Spirit of the living God, the Ruach HaKodesh. So continuing here very quickly. They were angry and they said to themselves, have you ever did that? Be honest. When your brother or sister was chosen over you, and you sat there and said, oh, why they love him or her better. All right? That's what's going on. Why waste this perfume? It could have been sold for a year's wages and given to the poor. And they scolded her. All right? They gave her dirty looks. Okay? But Yeshua said, let her be. Why are you bothering her? She has done a beautiful thing for me. Question. How many times is it recorded in the Brit Hadashah, the New Testament, that anyone did a beautiful thing for Yeshua? Only once, and it is here. Verse 7. For you will always have the poor with you. You know what's playing in the Talmudim's minds right now? You know what, guys? We've been acting like goats. Continuing. You have the poor always with you. And whenever you want to, you can help them. But you will always not have me. So he's letting them know he's about to die. He's going to be raised from the dead, but he's going to be moving on. What she could do, she did do. In advance, she poured perfume on my body to prepare it for burial. Right there is like an exclamation point in their hearts, minds, and souls. He's about to die, and he's about to be buried. Okay? Verse 9. Yes, I tell you that whenever in the whole world that this good news is proclaimed, what she has done will be told in her memory. Yet her name is not given. Now you may be saying, what is the significance of that? There are yet two more times where there are women that come forward and they anoint Yeshua. What had Yeshua recently taught his Talmudim about those who were sheep and goats? And this is recorded in Matthew 25, 31 through 46. It was the goats chose not to meet his Yeshua's needs by their not meeting the needs of his brothers. They were doing likewise. So continuing, whereas the sheep met his Yeshua's needs by meeting the needs of Yeshua's brothers, the sheep received both the blessing and the reward of the millennial kingdom. The goats received both the curse and eternal punishment. So now Yeshua's Talmudim are acting like goats, and they're rebuking this woman for giving here the most prized possession and the blessing Yeshua with it sacrificially as an act of love. Now let us go to the other occasion here. That is Yohanan John chapter 12 verses 1 through 8. This happened 6 days prior, okay? Now in Matthew and Mark, it was an occasion by a woman unnamed, and it was done 2 days prior to Pesach. Now it's 6 days prior to Pesach, all right? This is what happened. Before 4 days, that what is recorded in Matthew 26, 1 through 13, and Mark 14, 1 through 9. It says this in verse 1. 6 days before Pesach, Yeshua came to Bethany, which is the house of poverty, where Eleazar, who's Eleazar, but Lazarus. And what does Lazarus' name mean? Adonai has helped. And this is where he lived. The man Yeshua had raised from the dead. So they gave a dinner in honor of Yeshua. Now Martha, who is Martha, what does her name mean in the Hebrew? But lady, served the meal. And Eleazar, Lazarus, was among those with the Talmudim at the table with Yeshua. And there Miriam, Mary, now notice, a name is mentioned of a woman, took a whole pint of pure oil, which is called spikenard, okay, which is a very expensive, and it poured it on where? Yeshua's feet. And she wiped his feet with her hair. Now you may be thinking, well, wasn't that Mary Magdalene that did that? No. This is Miriam, Mary, the sister of Lazarus. We will get to that other occasion here in a few moments. So she pours it on his feet, the same quality of perfume that was poured by this other woman that's unmentioned of her name. So she poured it on his feet and she wiped it with her hair so that the house would fill with the fragrance of the perfume. But it says here, because this is a different occasion, but one of the Talmudim, one of the disciples, Yehuda, whose name is Judah, whose name means what? Praise to Yah. He who praises Adonai. Wait a second, is he not the betrayer? Yes. Let's continue. From Kerot, Yehuda from Kerot, the one who was about to betray him, Yeshua said, this perfume is worth a year's wages. Why wasn't it sold and the money given to the poor? Continuing. Now he said this not for the poor, but because he was a thief. And he was in charge of the common purse, and he used to steal from it. Now who's telling on him? But the Spirit of the living God, and who's he using? But Yohanan, John. So continuing here. Now Yeshua, he knew of this was going on, and he never put a stop to it. Why? That's between the Lord and Judah. That's not for me to judge. So let us continue. Yeshua said, leave her alone. She kept this for the day of my burial. Notice another woman recognizes that Yeshua is about to die and he's going to be buried. So continuing here. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. Now it goes on to say this, a large crowd in verse 9, a large crowd of Judeans learned that Yeshua was there. And they came not only because of Yeshua, but also that they could see Eleazar, Lazarus, who Yeshua had raised them from the dead. Now in chronological order, this was prior to Yeshua making his triumphant entry into Jerusalem and teaching in the temple courts. So let us continue here. The head Kohanim then decided at that exact moment to do away with Lazarus, Eleazar too. Since it was because of Eleazar, Lazarus, that a large number of Judeans were leaving their leaders and putting their trust in whom but Yeshua. So in chronological order, this took place before Yeshua had entered Jerusalem. And now here's our last occasion. And this is found in the Gospel of Luke. For it was another time recorded. In Luke chapter 7, verses 36 through 50. And I don't expect you to turn there, but you can. Luke chapter 7, 36 through 50. And I'll be very, very brief on this. But Yeshua came to someone's house. He was invited. And this was Simon, but this was Simon the Pharisee. He was not healed of leprosy, all right? And so Yeshua shares with him a parable of two men who owed a lot of money to their friend. And so while Yeshua is relating this parable, another woman comes, and what she does is that she is broken. And she's standing behind Yeshua. And while he's relating this story, she starts to weep uncontrollably. And her tears fall upon Yeshua's feet. And she takes her hair and she uses that to wipe and dry them. All right? And it goes on to say here, while that's going on, Yeshua is relating the story. But what's going on in Simon the Pharisee's mind is this. If he truly was a prophet of the God Most High, he would know what type of woman is now touching him. And so he continues to share the story. And he says this, now that one wealthy man, he decided to forgive those two men's debts. One owed him 50 denarii, the other 500 denarii. So, Simon, to whom did he love more? And Simon said, well, of course, the one that he forgave the most. And he said, well, did you notice something? When I came into your house, you did not have your servant come and wash my feet. And you did not anoint my head with oil. But since the time I came and I sat down, this woman came in and she has been washing my feet with her tears and drying it with her hair. And she took then an alabaster, a perfume, and she anointed Yeshua's head with that alabaster of oil. All right? And he said, Yeshua said in these words, and she has washed my feet, and you did not greet me with a kiss, but she has from that time continued to kiss my feet. And Yeshua goes on to say this to them, today her sins have been forgiven. Everyone gets upset and says, who is this that can forgive sins? And he turns to her and says to her, daughter, your trust has saved you. Now go in peace. Now you know something here? If you read the scripture there very, very closely and go on line upon line, it does not even say who this woman is. But by congregational tradition, they say, well, it's Mary Magdalene. But it's not. Otherwise, the scripture would say. Now, you may say, well, in the next chapter, it speaks about Mary Magdalene, who was what? She was possessed by seven demons. And she was set free by Yeshua. That's where some Bible commentators, and you have to be very, very careful in this, where they leap and they add things that do not fit to make a better story. Okay? So, now let us go back to Matthew chapter 26, verse 14. Matthew 26:14. So, all these things took place. In Luke chapter 8, as you're turning to Matthew 26:14, Luke chapter 8 happened with this woman, this sinful woman, who was broken over her sin. This happened in the early part of Yeshua's ministry, years earlier than his last Passover Seder. So now we're in Matthew 26:14. Then one of the 12, the one called Yehuda, Judah from Kirot, Issachar, the village, went to the head koine while this was going on. He was so angry and he was disgusted. And he said, what are you willing to give me if I turn Yeshua over to you? And they counted out to him 30 silver coins, and they gave them to Yehuda, Judah. Now here's commentary. This was done as recorded in the Tanakh to the fulfillment of Zechariah's prophecy. Zechariah 11:11-13, about Messiah being betrayed for 30 pieces of silver or 30 shekels. Now back to verse 16 of Matthew 26:16. From then on, he, Yehuda, Judah, whose name means praise of Yah, praise of Adonai, looked for the opportunity to betray him. who is Yeshua. Verse 17, on the first day of Matzah, the Talmudim came to Yeshua and asked, where do you want to prepare the Seder? Commentary, 26:17. On the first day for Matzah, Matzah is unleavened bread. Pesach is also known as the festival of Matzah because an essential element is eating only of unleavened bread throughout its 7 days. This is found in Shemot, which is Exodus 12:15-20. Furthermore, during that period, no leaven is found in your houses. That command is from Shemot or Exodus 12:19. The Seder, literally the order, as Barbara shared earlier today, refers here to an ordered ceremony, any meal that usher in the week of Pesach. Now back to verse 26:18. Yeshua says, go into the city to so-and-so. Yeshua replied, notice the name's not given, and tell him that the rabbi says, my time is near, and my Talmudim are celebrating Pesach at your house. Notice this, he says the words. It was like a code word to this guy that his disciples had shared. Because this disciple, Yeshua knew, had a large home where they could celebrate Pesach together. And also he understood and he received the revelation that Yeshua was about to die. Okay? So continuing here, in verse 19, the Talmudim did as Yeshua directed and prepared the Seder. When evening came, Yeshua reclined with the 12 Talmudim. Commentary now on 26:20. Yeshua reclined, asked by the youngest person present, the last of the four questions in the Seder service is, why do we recline during the Seder meal? Yohanan, John, is the youngest at Yeshua's last Seder. And so Yohanan, John, was seated by the host. He was at his right-hand side. Okay? So they brought the child near. Because Yeshua was not shouting these questions, or Yohanan was not shouting these questions during their Seder. They were simply speaking. All right? And I have with me, I'll pass it around. You know, I handed out a picture, and this is a picture, an artist's rendition of what the Passover Seder looked like. It wasn't like Michelangelo's painting where they're at this long table and they're all lined up in a line. And Brother Tim will pass that around to you. They were reclining, okay? So there were mats all on the floor. There was no furniture except for the outer edges where the food was placed, okay? And what was happening, they would either be laying forward or they would be leaning on their side. And there would be around in like a half circle or a full circle. And what would happen was there would be servants coming. They'd be bringing the matzah, the herosis, and everything else. All right? The maror and everything else. They were being served at this time. Okay? And so that's for your edification to look at that picture. Okay? So continuing here. Blessed be the name of the Lord. They were reclining at the Passover Seder. This represents freedom from Egyptian slavery. The sages urge all Jews to recall that they came out of Egypt and to appreciate the freedom brought through the sacrificial lamb of Passover. That's taken from Barry Rubin, the Messianic Passover Haggadah, which we'll be using and celebrating tonight during our Pesach, all right? So it gives you a little bit of background. That's what's going on here. Now let us go quickly to verse 21. And as they were eating, he Yeshua said, yes, I tell you that one of you is going to betray me. All right? And who does he say that to? But the betrayer. Where is he sitting? At his left. Let's continue here. They became terribly upset. And they began asking Yeshua, one after the other, Lord, do you mean me? It's not me, do you? Verse 23, Yeshua answered, the one who dips his matzah in the dish with me is the one who'll betray me. So think about that. Here's Judah, the one that's already got the silver coins in his pouch, in his pocket most likely. And anyway, here he is, and he's now dipping into either the maror, the bitter herbs, or the horosis, as Yeshua is dipping at the same time. Commentary on Matthew 26:23. Dips his matzah in the dish. The dish may have been contained horosis or maror, but used in the Seder services as we do today. Horosis, which is a sweet paste made of fruit, nuts, spices, and wine, which is a reminder of the mortar the Hebrew slaves used to make the Pharaoh's great cities in Egypt. Remember, they're making bricks. They're not moving the large stones of the pyramids, okay? They're building houses and other buildings, all right? So let us continue here. Maror means bitter herbs and recalls the bitterness of the Hebrew slavery to Pharaoh. Today, horseradish root or bitter lettuce is used as maror. Back to Matthew 26:24. So, this is Yeshua's words. The one who dips his matzah in the dish with me is the one who's going to betray me. Now, verse 24. The Son of Man will die just as the Tanakh says. He will. But woe to the man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for him never to be born. Can you imagine Yeshua's looking directly into the eyes of Yehuda at that point? And he's hoping that there'll be a breaking in his heart and soul. But other translations say this, that in that very moment, when Yehuda, Judas said, you know, he had to go and do something, Messiah Yeshua said, go and do what you need to do. Because he could see his heart. And his heart was not in a point of repentance. Think about the drama that's going on. Because you know what all the other 11 are doing? They're looking at each other and thinking, well, I think it's John. No, it's the other Judah. No, it's Bartholomew. You know, it's this guy, it's that guy, okay? And so Yeshua is doing eye-to-eye ministry with Judah right now. But Satan has come and filled his heart. How sad it is when someone who's walked for 3 years with the Messiah, saw all the miracles, healed people in Yeshua's name, did all these mighty miraculous things, and even cast out demons himself, has now allowed Hasatan, because that's what the scripture says, he's now residing in his heart. And the Redeemer who could set him free is looking in his eyes. Think about that drama. Let's continue now. Commentary on 26:24. The Son of Man will die just as the Tanakh says he will. The suffering servant, Isaiah 53, which was alluded to earlier during our Torah reading and before. The execution of Messiah, which is listed in the book in Hebrew, Tehillim, which is Psalms 22. And there are many other prophecies pertaining to it. Verse 25. Yehuda Judah, the one who is betraying him, then asked, surely, Rabbi, do you mean me? He's testing him. He, Yeshua, answered, the words are yours. I'm sorry, Judah, there's nothing more I can do for you. I can't force you against your own free will. And that terrifies me as being a believer in Messiah, that I could allow anything to come into my life, or I'll allow Hasatan, Satan, to have a foothold in my life and me to walk in deception and to deny my Messiah. That's what Judah is doing in this point. Continuing here. Verse 26, and while they were eating, Yeshua took a piece of matzah, and he made the berukah. And the berukah goes, the blessing goes like this. Berukah ta Adonai, Eloheinu melech haolam, homotzi lechem haaretz. Blessed art you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who's brought forth what? Bread from the earth. Then Yeshua broke it, and he gave it to his Talmudim and said, take it. "This is my body." Commentary, no on this. Yeshua took a piece of matzah here. The first part of matzah may have been eaten immediately prior to the meal, earlier in the Seder. The middle piece of matzah now is broken. Yeshua's taken that middle piece of matzah, which represents whom but himself. Half is divided. Then it is pieces and is shared with everyone at the table that they may eat. The other half, which is called what? The afikomen, is hidden to be found later by the children and eaten by everyone as the last food of the Seder meal. That's what we'll be doing tonight. Verse 27. Also, he, Yeshua, took the cup of wine and he made the berukah, the blessing. And he said, "Berukah ta Adonai, Eloheinu melech haolam, bohore pari hagafen. Blessed art you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who's brought forth fruits from the vine." And he gave it to them, saying, "Now all you take and drink from it. For this is my blood, which ratifies the Brit Hadashah, the new covenant. My blood shed on the behalf of many, so that they may have their sins forgiven." What's it all about? The Redeemer sacrificing himself and applying his blood to our hearts. So a beautiful illustration is, what did we receive last night? Pure snow. That though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be what? White as snow. So continuing here very, very quickly. "I, Yeshua, tell you that I will not drink from this fruit of the vine again until the day I drink new wine with you in my Father's kingdom." As what was said earlier today about the betrothal, when you were about to be betrothed to your bride, who your father picked out for you, or your groom, there was a cup of wine that was shared between the two, a promise, and there was a gift exchange from the male to the female. That's our God's ordained way of marriage, male to female. And so with that, Yeshua now, with the third cup of redemption, he was offering that to them and said that, "I will drink this with you in my Father's kingdom." Who is he speaking to? Like Brother Tim shared, the Talmudim, the 12, the apostles, were the bride of Messiah. He was offering that to them. But the marriage supper of the Lamb is a future event. And that's why Yeshua did not drink the cup of redemption, but he drank the second cup. And what is the second cup? But the cup of wrath. That's the cup that we dip our little finger in and we name the 10 plagues that were put upon Israel. Now, Yeshua took upon himself the wrath of Abba, Father God, from all the sins that were ever committed prior to his coming and yet to be committed in the future. Remember when he's on that mountain there before the Father? He says, "Father, can this cup..." What cup was he referring to? But the cup of wrath. "Can it be removed from me?" And after sweating with blood, because he was like flint, he yielded his will to the Father's will, that he may be our Redeemer and Savior. My brothers and sisters, that's what's going on here. Now finishing quickly. Yeshua took up commentary on Matthew 26 through 29. Yeshua took up the third cup, the wine cup, the cup of redemption. We can be sure that Yeshua used the traditional blessing, "Blessed art you, Adonai, our God, King of the universe, creator of the fruit of the vine," because in verse 29, Yeshua uses the phrase "fruit of the vine." Now, verse 30, after singing the Hallel, which Heidi graciously shared with us, which is praise unto God. These are the Psalms of Ascent, okay? They went out to the Mount of Olives. Commentary on 26:30. After singing the Hallel, Hallel means praise. Since this was a Seder, the hymn being sung must have been one of the Hallel Psalms recited at the festivals. Psalms 113 through 18 and chapter 36. These were called the Psalms of Ascent. They would go, the pilgrims of Israel, the faithful, the righteous people, would go to the Temple Mount, and on their way, when they're traveling from hundreds of miles away, they would be singing these songs of praise unto Adonai. So I encourage everyone to read or recite or to sing them aloud during this Pesach season and all the feasts of Messiah Yeshua throughout the whole year. Now going on to verse 31. Yeshua said to his Talmudim, "Tonight, you will all lose faith in me." Wow. As the Tanakh says, "I will strike the shepherd dead, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered." This is a fulfillment of womb, but the prophecy of Zechariah 13:7. And the scripture says this, verse 32, "But after I have been raised, I will go ahead of you to Ga'il, the Galilee region." Yeshua needs to do what he needs to do. But he's preparing their hearts and minds. So he's giving them hope. They all betray him. And they forget that he's going to meet them in the future in Galilee. But God's word gives us hope as we learn it and we apply it to ourselves, to our lives. In Yeshua's name, be glorified by the power of his Spirit. Shabbat shalom.